pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there agenda deletions, additions, or changes of sequence?
We're going to delete 8.3.5, new business.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
Superintendent's remarks prior to public comment?
No.
Okay. Next is public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on issues that aren't on the agenda. We're glad you're here. Board members can't comment, but we take your input and your feedback very seriously. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak to the board? Okay. Superintendent report.
Good evening. I'm going to start off with some good news. I want to celebrate a new grant. The Monterey Peninsula Foundation has provided $20,000 to support our new after-school programs at Mission Hill and Grant Sporting Middle Schools. This will augment, it'll be seed money for the programs that will be supported by Measure O, allow us to do some one-time expenditures. The generous grant will provide supplies for the schools to expand their after-school programs. Principals at both schools are working to hire coordinators and staff to ensure that middle school students have access to arts, technology, and athletics through a coordinated program after school 4 days a week. We're grateful for their support, and I am grateful for Angela's leadership in making this grant possible. Harbor High School WASC. Yesterday, Harbor High had a mid-cycle visit that positively celebrated their self-review. I want to thank the Harbor High School leadership and staff for their ongoing commitment to the cycle of self-study that the WASC process brings. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to meet with Santa Cruz City Manager Martine Bernal. We talked about different opportunities for us to further our collaboration. I continue to appreciate the partnership and support we receive from our city leaders, and I've been invited to participate in a conversation with UCSC and the city about potential staff housing projects next week. Last Friday, I was able to attend the UCSC field trip sponsored by the Santa Cruz County College Commitment for 7th graders up to UCSC. Energy in the room, excited 7th graders talking about college requirements and experiencing the college classroom. Brant Sporting Middle School students and half of the 7th graders countywide attended the program, learned more about what it takes to get to college, and had a college tour. We're really grateful to UCSC and our higher education partners for making this possible. It's a lot of work to have all those kids up there. Next month, our Mission Hill Middle School 7th graders will visit CSUMB, and with the other half of the 7th graders in the county, we'll be attending up there. It's an important opportunity for our students to see the possibility of themselves as college students. This week, we also had our initial ad hoc facilities committee meeting. Not to be confused with what we will be forming as a facility steering committee for the bond. To date, we've had 11 community meetings to inform our facilities master plan. The ad hoc committee is addressing some specific facilities issues that we'll take to the greater community for input. They're going to be addressing the issue of next steps for natural bridges, growth at Soquel High School, continued impact of above capacity elementary sites, and potential locations for possible faculty housing. The group will generate some initial ideas, and we're going to hold a larger community meeting on April 26th at 6 p.m. in the Brant Sporting Middle School Library for community input. We'll also be seeking input from stakeholders via email communication and other venues. Last week, on Wednesday, we participated in the Chamber of Commerce Community Fair. I really want to thank Trevor and Jim for setting that up, and Molly and Jose for helping to staff the table and greet the community as they came to visit the different booths. We had a lot of interest in what's going on in our schools, and we had copies of our facilities plans out for people to provide input in as well. Molly and I had an opportunity for an impromptu interview with KSCO. Got to talk a little bit about our schools, and it was just really a great opportunity to connect with the greater community, and we are planning on making it an annual event for the Santa Cruz Seniors. That's it.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris. Student representative reports, Ella.
Hello. Santa Cruz High Spring Play, The Comedy of Errors, was cast and the rehearsals have begun. We had the WASC committee present at Santa Cruz High a couple weeks ago, and it was really interesting to see the sort of camaraderie that was evoked between teachers and students, and how like the intent to make a good impression really built pride in our school, and you kind of see students talking like, oh yeah, like, I was, you know, mentioning how our note-taking helps in class, and conversations you don't normally hear at 9:30 in the morning in a hallway on a Monday. I was at the Museum of Art and History's Artivism event last Friday, and I saw a lot of familiar faces, just from schools, and also I know specifically like Santa Cruz High's Latino Student Union was involved, and I also thought that was kind of cool and unusual in how they've engaged students so that you get teenagers on a Friday night saying, hey, want to go hang out at a museum? So that was really refreshing. And I actually wound up in charge of screen printing, which was messy. so be warned about that. Seniors are hearing back from colleges this past month, and I think probably next half of the month is up to the deadline of hearing back. So there's some dreams coming through and some dreams being reevaluated. And most of us are submitting last-minute scholarship applications as well. Free Speech Friday, like I said before, is back. We are going to start this Friday on the front steps at lunch at Santa Cruz High. And there was a job expo today in the cafeteria. Of course, they had the good sense to bribe our interest with refreshments, which turned out to be snack bars. But there was a lot of talking about like what could happen beyond high school and planning and interest. So that was also cool to see. Thank you.
Thanks, Ella. Board reports. Deb?
Nancy, I'll just submit my report later.
Thank you. I participated in a visit to Red Sparty Small Schools with Superintendent Monroe and had the privilege of visiting some of the Costa Nova classrooms, so that was enjoyable, and I participated in the facilities ad hoc committee meeting, and it's nice to be working with people from across the district and thinking about some important options that we might want to consider in terms of use of our facilities and enhancing our facilities as we move forward.
Pass.
I'd like to invite those of you who are not able to see the opening of the Spring Play Chicago to come to Soquel High on Friday the 25th at 7:30 or Saturday the 26th at 3 p.m. for a performance. I heard it was very well attended in the opening acts, and always a lot of fun to see the arts in action. I would like everyone to mark their calendars for the fourth Sunday of April, which is April 24th at Santa Cruz High. It's the campus cleanup. There are always a lot of fun things happen. And also there'll be an all-campus cleanup in May on Saturday the 14th for Soquel High School. That's being put on by a bunch of parents and groups, and they're all getting together. They're very excited. There's a lot of campus spirit, and I think it spills over at all our sites, and I know that Harbor had mentioned that they've started one. I'd also, though I was unable to attend due to a family commitment, like to thank John Leopold for his work bringing the Boys and Girls Club to the Shoreline campus and helping ensure that our community will have a new home for the club. So thank you to John Leopold.
I went to the Cal Fresh Thursday event at Harbor High School, where I was put in the Brussels sprouts booth. Now,
yes. Yum.
The salad was delicious, but it was really hard to sell. Well, we weren't selling it, to give it away. Also, we were right next to the carrot cake. I mean, is that fair? But I was really impressed with the event. Amy did a great job, and food directors from other districts were there in support of her, which I thought was a great thing, too. We had a really busy Delta meeting where we reviewed their safety plan, approved their second interim report. We learned that a Delta student won the Rotary Speech Contest, and we'll be moving forward in that. The Development Committee is planning a fundraiser in May. 12th grade students are going to the Scholarship Factory, where they're learning about, or they're getting assisted in applying for scholarships. Two full buses took students to Evergreen College, San Jose State, California Academy of Arts, and UC Berkeley. And we also voted to appoint Angela Meeker as physical CEO. The board and staff are really excited about the appointment. I attended the opening of the beautiful new Boys and Girls Club in Lyboke. It's a much-needed facility and beautiful. Very impressed with the student speech speech and all the involvement of the students in the planning for that facility. That ends my report.
Okay, well, I attended the Santa Cruz County School Board Association meeting in which the CSBA president came and presented to us in terms of future issues that are coming up and future concerns. I found it really interesting. I couldn't believe we had the CSBA president right here. Yeah. And the CSBA seems to be moving into a role of school advocacy more than previously, where it was kind of this professional organization. And I'm happy to see that. I attended the Parcel Tax Advisory Committee meeting, in which I wanted to note to Jim that the entire advisory committee was so happy to have information along the way you've been bringing it, but it came in a form that people had this kind of aha experience of, oh, I haven't gotten that in the last 10 years. I didn't understand that, and including us, including Angela and Molly and I, for that matter, who were like, oh, really? And so I really think that it was professionally presented, and I was just really pleased because it made people feel as if they were truly understanding what was going on with the parcel tax. I attended the facilities at... It was the Facilities Committee, not the Facilities Ad Hoc Committee.
It was the Ad Hoc Committee.
Oh, it was the Ad Hoc Committee. Okay. It seems like two different names go around.
Yeah.
Right. And I also really appreciated a broad group, but not too large, of people in the city schools community. And also really liked the fact that it became clear pretty quickly that how we think about facilities and how we think about programs are so joined that you begin to see that our facilities really need to be flexible in a way for different program needs as the population changes. I wanted to thank Allison for an article she sent out about the new required textbooks that we're going to be dealing with and the complications of doing it well in terms of having a good system for keeping track of our textbooks and really organizing them, being on top of it. And I'm hoping that we're going to be able to say more about that over the course of our time. And I wanted to just note that I heard Hillary Clinton give a speech this morning in which she said that she wanted, if she's elected president, she wanted to make sure that there was money going into career tech programs and having career tech tracks within our schools, that not tracks in the old sense of the word, but that we would be funding and identifying those areas of career tech that are blossoming jobs all over the country. And so I was really pleased to hear that at least one of the presidential candidates is thinking that way and putting it on the top of their agenda. And finally, I just want to say that I didn't really want to tell Angela congratulations because I was so sad that she was leaving. And I'm afraid I've been like ready to cry about it. I first met Angela before I got on the board. And she was an incredibly welcoming principal when I had done a private assessment of a student, and made me feel as if my contribution was worthwhile to her, to the parents, and to the school. And so I was really happy when she showed up on the here as the assistant superintendent. I have been able to talk to her, to find that she had an ear for the children who were different than the average child coming through the comprehensive schools. And I could tell her all my frustrations about the way that programs should be, and she listened and came up with ideas of her own, and I am so appreciative. I was worried that maybe I had driven you out of here, but I also know that Delta is not only very lucky to get you, but that it's a perfect place for you. And so I'm just really sad, and I'm not going to stop being sad that you're gone, but I know you'll be happy there, so I wanted to tell you that congratulations, despite the fact that it kind of gets stuck for me saying it. And that's it.
Thank you. So I want to commend Chris and the staff for their dedication to the Santa Cruz College commitment. It was covered in the Sentinel. Lots of kids on college classrooms, on college campuses. You know, we live in an area with 3 4-year universities within 50 miles. So that idea of getting them to campus early and often is something that we're dedicated to, and that was awesome to see it in the Sentinel. I attended a workshop that was hosted by California School Board Association for board presidents. It was very informative. It was an all-day event, and I think it would be advantageous for us to have a short in-service on parliamentary procedure. I learned a lot about it at this workshop, and I think it would be something that we might want to think about having at our June governance study session. I also went to Sacramento with school board members from across California for the CSBA Day of Action, the Legislative Day of Action, and I had a chance to speak to Senator Bill Monning about the challenges that our district faces, and in particular, I spoke about the LCFF funding. I was pleased that he said that he had heard about it. He's heard about it from a few different districts that are in a similar situation, and that the issue of equity, you know, we said LCFF was a great start, but it hasn't solved the equity problem, and he was in agreement and supportive of that. And I also talked with about the advocated on behalf of the district for the state addressing and being proactive in addressing the teacher shortage, that we need legislation for California on how we will address our dwindling teacher population, especially in shortage areas of math, science, and special education. And then finally, I'd like to invite trustees and members of the public to Harbor High is screening a film called The Mask You Live In. It's been a film that's been going through the community. It was shown at Santa Cruz High. It was shown last week at Cabrillo. Everybody raves about it. It is a documentary on the negative effects of gender socialization, particularly for young men. And there's going to be a panel discussion afterwards. Harbor High Booster Club is hosting the event. It's free, but if you go to the Harbor High website, you can register and save your seat. And that's recommended because I think it will probably fill up. And that's going to be next Wednesday night at 7 p.m. in the Harbor High Little Theater. And that's it. Okay, it's time to approve the minutes for the regular meeting on February That's not right.
March 9th.
March 9th.
March 9th. Thank you. Do we have a motion?
I move approval.
Second.
And the second was, I'm sorry?
There was two of us.
Sheila. student recommendation?
Abstain.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain?
7-0.
And the next is the consent agenda. The consent agenda is for matters considered to be non-controversial that can be passed in one roll call vote. Are there any items on the consent agenda that the board would like pulled for discussion?
I would like to pull for just a question, comment 8.1.8.1.1 and 8.1.8.1.2 and 0.3.
Okay. And do we need to pull them for discussion, or do you want to ask some questions?
I actually
pull it.
I just want to ask a question. And I don't know if that's now or pull it.
You can ask questions.
Oh, I can ask a question now.
Yes.
Okay. So my
questions for the
I
board.
Ask a question now?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm noting that in the consent agenda is the legal services, and I was hesitant because I think we don't, as a board, have enough information about our legal services, and so I would like to request that I'm perfectly willing to vote for it now, but I would like to request that during the next year at one of our study sessions, we have more information about what legal services we use, and you know approximately what they're costing us. And I know that changes according to what happens in the year, but I'd like to request you to consider that.
So, would the board like us to? You know, one of the things I'll be asking in our meetings this month is what are the things we want to have on our governance agenda in June? Mm-hmm. Would this be something to bring to the June governance conversation?
Well, are you asking me or everybody else?
Why don't you check in with people as you...
So I'll tell you, that's what I'll do, is I'll check in with folks about what we want to have in our June governance session, and we can bring that to...
Sounds good.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions on the consent agenda?
Yeah, I actually have a question. This is regarding purchase orders for De La Viega. I just wanted to get an update on the shade canopy project and where we are with that $40,000 purchase order.
So we are putting the shade canopy up over the kindergarten area. We aren't putting it over the food area because the ADA requirements with it just don't make it. We can't put one up that's going to do what it needs to do. So what we are waiting to do is look and see long term, make this as a part of our long term facilities master plan. And in the interim, they put in additional tables with umbrellas for the campus to address the shade need for lunchtime, and it's going to become a part of the long range facilities master plan to look at shade for
any other questions?
I actually have one more question. Mm-hmm. This is regarding the Early Mental Health Initiative Primary Intervention Program. I think this is something that is worthy of support. I just wanted to know what additional supports and services would be offered through this kind of program that we don't already provide for our students.
It wouldn't be additional. It would be funding. Currently, we're using elementary supplemental dollars from our LCAP. This would create a different funding source. There used to be a separate funding source for this. We've had the program... Angela, do you know how long we've had for it? It's been a long time.
It's at least 10 years.
I want to say it's even more than that. It's a long-term program that's really provided support in our primary grades. And we've been able to cobble together resources to keep it going, even though state resources went away. And this is an organized effort to have the state bring those resources back. Mm-hmm.
The public comment on anything that's on the consent agenda.
This is not in the form of a question.
I'd just like to express my disappointment that Mr. Maxfield is just resigning from the parcel of the council or oversight committee. I've known Mr. Maxfield for a very long time in his lovely life, and he's always been a very staunch supporter of the school and the school district. He has devoted many, many, many hours to the well-being of the school district. So this is another one of the comments.
Any other members of the public that would like to speak to items on the consent agenda? Okay, do I have a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Student recommendation?
Aye.
Roll call?
Aye.
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 Aye. Report of actions taken in closed session, Claudia?
The Board of Trustees took action on certificated, classified, and management leaves, retirements, resignations, and appointments. The Board of Trustees heard information on expulsion 11-15-16, 12-15-16, and 13-15-16. The Board of Trustees heard an update and provided Assistant Superintendent Molly Parks with direction regarding GSCFT negotiations. The Board of Trustees conferred with real property negotiators. The Board of Trustees heard an update regarding public employee discipline, dismissal, release, complaint. The Board of Trustees discussed public employment performance evaluation title superintendent.
And do we have any gifts to thank people for, Sheila?
No.
Okay. Okay, we need to vote on expulsions. We'll start with 11-15-16. Is there a motion to adopt the recommended decision for 11-15-16?
Yes, I move to expel student 11-15-16 through the end of the first semester of 2016-17 school year and refer the student to a program with the County Office of Education.
Okay.
Second.
Dee and Deb. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? 7-0.
Thank you.
Expulsion 12-15-16.
I move to expel student 12-15-16 to the end of the first semester of the 2016-17 school year and to suspend the expulsion to allow the student to transfer to a school within our district or to serve on a certificated contract. Mm-hmm.
Second.
I'm sorry, the second was?
Dee Dee.
Thank you. Or Sheila.
All in or favor?
Sheila Dee Dee.
Oppose?
Aye.
Abstain?
7-0.
And the last one is there a motion to adopt the recommended decision for student 13-15-16?
I move to expel student 13-15-16 through the end of the first semester of the 2016-17 school year and refer the student to a program with the County Office of Education. Mm-hmm.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain?
7-0, and that was DG. Thank
you. Okay, excellent. And now we are on to new business resolution 38-15-16.
This evening we have guests from Cabrillo College. Cabrillo trustee Donna Zeal and Kristen Favos are here tonight to share with us about their bond measure Q. And we have a resolution in support of that bond on our agenda.
Thank you. Do I need to use this?
Yes, please.
It's on when you start.
So when the light is red, it's on.
Yes.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm Donna Zeal. I'm a trustee with Cabrillo College. And I'm here with Kristen Favos, who is our Director of Marketing and Communications. And we're here to talk to you and ask for your endorsement of Measure Q, which is our bond issue that will be coming up on the June ballot, to help us fund very seriously needed infrastructure and modernization projects on our campus. When you drive down Soquel on the right, heading south, you see those brand new beautiful buildings, but on the left, if you look up the hill, you will see buildings that have been standing for 30 to 50 years, and there is a tremendous amount of work that needs to be done to make them safe, to make them modern, and to make them flexible. Someone was talking about creating flexible classrooms. That's absolutely where we're going as well. We need to do this sooner than later because it's simply going to become more expensive if we wait, but also because we owe it to our students and to our faculty to have the kind of facilities that will allow them to teach as well as they can teach and to learn as well as they can learn and be prepared for the workforce and the transfer that they're aiming for. So specifically, what we're planning to do is improve a lot of the infrastructure that includes improving water conservation measures, replacing and repairing deteriorating gas, electrical, and sewer lines, and improving handicapped access. As you know, our campus is steep, and we need to be sure that we have met all of our ADA requirements. We have three major charges as a community college. One is to provide basic skills, basic education skills. The second is to provide career technical education, and the third, of course, is to provide for transfer. And the modernizations that we're proposing will enhance all of those areas, particularly in the career technical and transfer areas of our curriculum. I think that is sort of it in a nutshell. That's a very general overview. The amount of the bond that we're proposing is $310 million. We have factored that out at about $23 per 100,000 of assessed valuation for everyone in the county, all the property owners in the county. And we feel that it is a good investment for our future, the future of our children, all of the people who need to come back to school to retool, be ready for future career opportunities. So we are asking for your endorsement this evening. And Kristen is here. I don't know if you want to make a comment or if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask.
Okay, board questions. Jeremy.
Right. Concerning boundaries, while the boundary of a city school district, of our city school district, is clear to me, the boundaries for the Cabrillo district were unclear. As anyone in the state can attend Cabrillo, you've clarified that you'll be asking for this parcel tax for every property owner in the county, correct? In the county of Santa Cruz.
I'm not puzzled because there's an area that overlaps a bit into Monterey County and San Diego. So it'll cover those as well. I'm sorry, I missed
it. A follow-up question, if you don't mind. Does every community college have its community college boundary?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. For this express purpose so that parcel taxes can be assessed?
Yes.
I see. I would like to see a map, if you could send it our way, of the area that will be voting and the number of households that will be voting, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure you have that thing. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Comments from the public? Okay. This is a roll call. Student recommendation.
Aye.
What's wrong?
I'm sorry. I don't know.
I'm sorry. Gosh.
Jump. I'll move approval.
Thank you, Deb.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Just cutting right to the chase. Now, can we have a student recommendation?
Aye.
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 Thank you very much.
Athletics. So I'd like to introduce to you Eric Reddy. He is going to be presenting on our athletic update for this year. Tim McGuire got called away to be grandfather in Chicago. So Eric is pitch hitting tonight. And we'll kind of give you an update. This is the first report we've done since our athletic directors went full-time this year. A reminder, they're about a little over halfway through their first year, been doing a lot of good work, and there's more work to continue. So I'll turn it over to Eric, and we'll be...
So good evening. So I'm representing the middle schools and the three conferences of the high schools tonight. You know, we put together a lot of things this year, probably more than I'll have up here for you guys, and I'm sure you guys have questions for me, and I'll be happy to answer all those questions for you. So the first thing we've done is, you know, we put together a mission statement. Santa Cruz City Schools is committed to engaging the hearts and minds of every student every day. Our athletic programs connect and engage students to their school community through providing opportunities which will enhance their intelligence, physical, social character, and culture development of students, fostering personal integrity and good sportsmanship and ethical conduct. Also, too, the core values that we want to implement to our students is bringing them personal best to the team, embracing discipline, persistence to each, to reach each high standards, learning to work with others in pursuit of a common goal, adhering to the code of fair play, personal discipline, and respect, promoting interpretive and collaboration among diverse groups of people, being positive ambassadors for your school and board, and broader community. So some of the things I have here are what we've kind of implemented this year as far as what we've done and how we're using our time during the school day, throughout the day. So we've increased support, evaluation, feedback for all coaches, meeting with each coach to review expectations and budgets, attendance at more games and practice for informal observations, clarification and evaluation processes for coaching, including a student survey, following up on attendance for positive coaching alliance classes, increased amount of student support throughout the day, NCAA requirements, collaborative work with counseling office and changing schedules when needed, accessibility to students for general questions and concerns. We've increased contact with parents, ensuring that all coaches hold parent meetings, meet with parents about NCAA eligibility and qualifications, handle parent concerns, and work with coaching staffs. Clarify budget expectations, working with the school account tech with coaches to review budgets, collaborate with the district finance office to set, refine, and adjust budgets, especially around facilities. Meet with coaches and team parents about team budgets. Work with booster clubs to enhance the budgets for all teams. Adding additional teams, looking forward to being able to add more teams such as beach volleyball next year for boys and girls, which is on the docket to probably have next year, possibly. Increased interaction with the community. Able to respond to questions about facilities in a more timely manner, redefine rental process and collaboration with the facilities department, clarifying public use and facilities after school hours. Able to communicate with a broader community, including alumni, about programs. Trained ADs as CPR instructors, so all three high school ADs are instructors now for CPR. So now, all coaches can be trained by our ADs. Classes will be scheduled throughout the year to ensure coaches have opportunities every season to be certified. The next steps that we plan to keep going is finalizing the coaches handbook by May 2016, create a common parent handbook for all schools by August 2016, increase the number of student evaluations of coaches spring 2016, develop a more comprehensive orientation for all coaches, August 2016, increase CPR trainings and change in budgets and fundraising due to passing of Measure O. There's some pictures we had of the students. Before I take your questions, I just would like to thank the board for the support of making us full-time. It really has helped. I really appreciate it, all that ADs do. We also like to thank the partial tax for getting that passed to help us out. So we really appreciate the time and the effort that everybody's given to the athletic directors. We really appreciate it. I'll take any questions you have for me.
Jeremy.
It's nice to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Every time I come by Santa Cruz High, you look very busy. I guess what I, if you wouldn't mind,
sure.
What's your day look like as an AD? We've actually talked about this, so I guess I'm asking it for the benefit of others, but I could hear it again. What's your day look like now that you have this full-time release?
So, you know.
If you don't mind.
Well, when I was splitting the job before, you know, if a parent came in, I'd have to leave, or I couldn't schedule a meeting. If a parent comes by the school at any time from 8:30 to 6 before I have to go down to the fields, I take that meeting. I can sit down and talk to them as long as they want to talk to me about whatever issues they have. If a student wants to come by at any time during the day, my door is always open. They can come in. Counseling can come to me anytime they need something. It has just freed me up to be at the school's disposal for whatever the community or the school needs. It's busy because I'm still trying to get schedules in. I'm still trying to make changes. I'm trying to fix stuff that might be broke and still get that done. But I have the opportunity to do this. So if I have to leave to go take care of a field situation in the middle of the day, I can just walk out my office and go to the football field and take care of the situation. Sometimes before, if I was doing another job at Santa Cruz High, I'd have to put that on the burner. I might get to it at 2 o'clock, and I might be there till 7. Where now, I can start at 8 or 9 and take care of the problem and still get back to my office and be able to finish out the day with whatever the school needs. So it's definitely given me the opportunity to do more. My day is still busy, but I feel freer that I'm sitting in my office, I'm doing the stuff, and if somebody comes and needs it, I can take care of it right now. If my accounting tech, Jeannie, needs me, I just go to her office, we meet about budgets. If there's a money situation with a vendor or something, we can take care of it right then. I don't have to wait, well, I can't get to it today. I got other things to do. I can't get to it till tomorrow. And then that's helping the team get what they need. So if we have an order, like a swimsuit order or something that hasn't gone through and they're waiting for it, and the team's like, we want our uniforms, I can call the vendor. I can say where it is on the FedEx. I can track it. I have all that time to do more to try to get what they need. So basically, I have more time to get whatever the students or the staff or the community needs for me by being full time.
Thank you.
Dee Dee.
Thank you for coming today and presenting to us, and thank you for all the work that you do as an AD. I'm very excited that we have full-time ADs on our comprehensive campuses. I have a couple of comments as a parent of two student-athletes, one who's a senior and has been a student-athlete since he started basically middle school. And there's kind of three issues that I see that I would hope and like to see our ADs try and address on each campus. And I know the practices on each campus may be a little bit different, and the policies on each campus may be a little bit different. But the three things that I would hope that our ADs can address are issues of equity, issues of communication, and issues of collaboration. And the equity issues have to do with equity in terms of resources, whether it be facilities resources or funding resources. And different teams have different fundraising approaches, different teams get more funds than others, and different teams feel less supported and kind of like the stepchild.
So let me take that question first before the second one? So what happens with that is you have 65 kids and you only have 12 kids on a team. The fundraising spectrum is a little bit different. So if the team that had 65 did the same fundraiser as the other team, they probably might not make enough money as the team with 65. So where they could bring in $15,000, they might only bring in four or three. And sometimes that's where the line of that part of the equity goes. What I try to do at Santa Cruz High is we let the teams pick the fundraisers they like to participate. I don't dictate to them the fundraisers that they should do, because through the parents and the team, they need to figure out when they have their parent meeting, is this a fundraiser we all can get on board and do, or is this something that only five or six parents want to do and the other parents don't want to do? So what I try to do is I give my coaches an opportunity with different fundraisers that I put out, and I email all the coaches. So anytime there's a fundraiser that a guy comes in and says, I'm selling this and I can raise you money, I send an email out to the coaches and I tell them, if this is something you'd like to do, let's set up a meeting. I'll go to the meeting. I'll go with the person that is presenting the fundraiser, and then they can present to the team. And if it's something that they would like to do, the coaches and I will have a meeting to see, is this something that you think is beneficial for you or not? I can't answer for the other two high schools because we kind of all do different sort of things. I think what we're trying to do as an athletic director's department is trying to get us all to try to maybe work together. It's hard, though, because what might be beneficial for Santa Cruz High might not be so great for Harbor, and it might not be so great for SoCal. And that's sometimes hard. So saying what's a good fundraiser that works for me might not work as good for Harbor or might not work as good as SoCal. So that is something that, I mean, we should talk about, and maybe we could do better in the sense of seeing, hey, maybe you want to try my fundraiser, or the guy, you know, he made a lot of money for us. The teams made a lot of money. I know it's hard for teams who have less numbers, because it seems that, oh, the football team or the baseball team who has a lot of numbers, you know, they're making more money or they're getting newer things and we're not getting newer things. What I've also tried to do, and this is another thing with the partial tax, with you free, and you'll see this, and I think this will be something that will happen, is that once those teams don't have to worry about raising the money for the stipends and paying bills that we can pick up on this partial tax, that they will have more money to use for themselves. And that way they won't worry about, I have three coaches and I have to get three stipends, so that's $7,000, $8,000 that they already think they have to raise before they think about uniforms or before they think about something else for the team. So I'm hoping as we go along that that'll be one thing that will start to change, because we're picking up some of these things that were bills that the teams were picking up before.
Did you have another?
Well, I have two other things.
No,
but,
no, go ahead.
But there's lots of questions here.
So we'll circle back.
Yes, that would be great.
Patty.
Hi, Eric. First of all, thank you for coming and presenting, and also thank you for the hard work that you and the other athletic directors did for Measure O. You came and gave quite a bit of your time to have the conversation so that the community could understand the state of athletics. And so with that being said, and thinking, and I have, we'll circle around a couple times for my questions, you know, and some of it is for clarification for the community.
Yeah.
So, you know, the parcel tax will now, when we outlined it, allow for coaches' stipends, league fees, and official fees, which will free up quite a bit. But for the parent or the layperson, they may not understand what is budgeted and paid for and what is budgeted and needed. So the clarification of budgets would be great, but also how many coaches does each sport have that are paid? So basically I'm asking, how many coaches report to you?
So I have about 22 coaches that report to me.
Total through the school year, not just per season.
That's just a section. So I'd say through for the year, as far as coaches on staff, I say between 25 and 30 coaches for the year.
For the year. And then, so I see that you had, this is my question, I see that you had said that follow-up on attendance for Positive Coaching Alliance classes. So are all coaches expected to take the Positive Coaching Alliance
yes.
class? And are they expected to take more than one? Is there a series?
There's not a series at this point, but Molly and the district, we're working on, we're going to implement our next section of Positive Coaching classes, because we pay for a certain number at the beginning, and then when we re-up, there's other classes that come with that.
Okay, and so my question is, are these coaches expected to attend them in person?
Yes.
So they must go to this. And
so
and help me along.
Yeah.
Do you not allow for the coaches to be amongst the students until they've actually cleared the class?
So because they've been fundraising for their own stipends, we've had a harder time with requirements for them. So next year will be a different ballgame because we will be paying them to be coaches. So at this point, we've made huge efforts to get everyone there every other year, has been our requirement. Have we gotten 100%? No. Are we getting closer? Yes. We don't have anyone taking it online, though. They've all been in person. So next year, that is definitely, when Eric talked about the orientation with the coaches, which they've been doing, but we're really tightening that, that will be part of it, that they won't be on the field until they've got CPR, first aid,
California coaches certification, which is an online class. That's the state-mandated coaching certification that you have to take online. Mm-hmm. So there's a concussion test, because everything in the state of California requires all coaches to do the concussion test. That test is free. The coaching alliance test is $50. So, for example, when I sent out an email last week to all my fall coaches who are going to be coming in for fall, the email I sent out to them said that under no circumstances will you be allowed on the deck or coaching if I don't have your updated forms for coaching certification. I'll be the one to follow up with that. The CPR right now, since we just gotten trained, we're catching up with the CPR. And we're making strides right now. We've already had one class. We're going to have another one next week. So we're trying to at least get all the fall coaches certified in CPR before they start coaching. A lot of coaches might already have the 2-year CPR class, but we're committed to getting everybody CPR certified by fall, by when we come back in August. That's our commitment now, in a sense. And that's the email that we sent out. My email I sent out to my coaches was stating that I will not let you be on the field unless you have given me a copy of your certifications, and I can give a copy to the district.
Thank you.
Sheila.
I also have two questions, but I'm just going to do one.
No problem.
And a first comment, my daughter Nina Coonerty said that I had to tell you hello today, and thank you for dragging her out of various places that she was instead of class.
I did that on my other job. I don't get to do that now. You know, part of me does miss my other job, I'll tell you, because I interacted with kids more on an everyday basis because I was out walking around. I try to get out more out of my office because now I'm in my office doing so much. They didn't even give me a radio before because they didn't want people calling me when I first started this year. Then they gave me a radio halfway through the year just in case they needed something. So I don't get out to interact as much as I would like to because I'm mostly interacting with sports-orientated kids before I was interacting with the whole school besides the sports kids. So,
well, she just wants you to know that she just graduated from the university last year, and she wants you to know that you're one of the reasons.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
My first question is... I know, because you've been in the middle of two of them, that you know how completely adamant many parents were about certain coaching situations, and I would hear from two sides, and I felt as if I had changed lands. But also that there was quite a bit of discussion in the community about what was allowed for coaches and whether we were being too strict or silly or whatever, versus, you know, really the coaches should be the epitome of good behavior. And so now we have people who are actually able to do the job because you now have enough time to do it. And I'm wondering if you could say a little bit about I think it could go two ways. One would be that the coaches might say, well, wait a minute, this has been okay for years, and why are you changing things now, and how that's gone. And the other is, do parents feel as if they are more heard, as if they now know what the process is, if there are complaints, how it has gone since you guys have come
up? I think the one thing I would say, and I don't know if Molly gave you guys a sheet, but the one coaches evaluation that we've implemented, mm-hmm. that's going to be one thing that's going to be crucial to us moving forward and having every coach sign that coaching agreement as the district's expectations and the school's expectations and your expectations from the board. So on that sheet that we've drawn up, we will be implementing that all coaches sign that, and they will know what the expectations are. Mm-hmm. Is it harder? Yes, because before, it was hard to get coaches, and interviewing coaches is not an easy thing, and you try to look within people as you hire them to see the best in them. And sometimes this is an educational thing for myself that I'm actually a teacher trying to hopefully, hey, you made a mistake, but I'm trying to guide you to a point where 5 years down the line I can look back and say, hey, you were a little rough at the beginning, but you really came a long ways. I think the caveat that I have now to deal with coaches is you guys were working really hard before, and I know you were scrounging to get this money. Look what we've done to give you this money now. You're not having to work as hard to fundraise, and you can just be a coach. So if you're just going to be a coach, I have expectations for you within being a coach that I need you to follow. And that is where we're going as we move along, that we can, not that I have leverage or I'm dropping the hammer, but I have leverage to say to coaches, this is my expectations. And look, you don't have to do this as you have before. You have to do this. And the school's expectation and the administration and the board and the school district expect you to abide by these rules. And if you can't do that, then we'll find somebody else to do the job. Not that that's what I need, that line, but we're getting to that point where we have to have that line. So.
And the parent, are you getting feedback, yes, from the parents saying this is getting clearer now, we know?
Well, I think this has been a growing year.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I've had my situations at Santa Cruz High School.
Uh-huh.
And you know, other parents have, you know, different expectations in the sense of how things go. Then you have other people who have these higher expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the school who says, these are our rules and this is kind of our guidelines, how we do them. And sometimes that's not good for parents. And so what I try to do is, if you've talked to me, then I try to talk to the administration. And then I talk to the administrator and I'll meet with you. And this is another time where I have more time to meet with a parent anytime they want, with Mr. Copel or Ms. Poirier. We meet. We talk to Molly. We talk to Chris. And then we have steps. And I think what's going to happen in the future is that our steps are going to be more clear for all of us. And I think us implementing these things that we're doing, we're going to have a cut and dry sort of, well, you signed this. We asked you to do this. We didn't really have a lot of time to implement these things before, or we were spot implementing them, and we were playing catch up. And it's hard to play catch up to do one thing and do another thing. And now we're starting to get to a point where we have these things set, you know, in guidelines. And once they get approved, we're going to implement them. And we're going to implement them from the middle school to the high schools. And I think in the next 2 years, we'll have a clear definition of what we need. And I'll be able to go meet with coaches more, being freer, to watch practices, to watch games, and be at more contests to critique coaches. And point out something and email them and say, hey, we need to have a meeting because what I saw I really didn't like. So I think I have more opportunities, the ADs will have more opportunities to take control of a situation before the situation gets out of control.
Well, bless you is all I have to say.
Thank you.
And it means I won't be caught in quite so many grocery stores for 45-minute conversations.
I'll try to keep those out.
Dee Dee.
So I want to circle back around to the communication mm-hmm. collaboration. I really appreciate what our coaches do, and they put in countless hours for, even though it's a stipend, it's you
right.
know, we could pay them a whole lot more for the time and hours they put in. I think one strategy that might be helpful, especially for those teams that are smaller, is for coaches to communicate and collaborate with each other. Even within one sport, for example, I feel like the coaches are in their little silos. There's the varsity coach, there's the JV coach, there's the boys coach, there's the girls coach. And they could team together and really, as a group of coaches, mm-hmm. leverage their influence and their contact with parents much more powerfully together with the booster clubs on each campus. And I would hope that we could see more of that now that we're going to have a little bit more contact with the coaches and collaboration between the ADs and the coaches and those opportunities to build those relationships
right.
among the coaches.
I think it's my job as an athletic director and our other athletic directors to what we try to do at Santa Cruz High is, just like you said, I don't let one JV team do the fundraiser by themselves. Usually what happens is the varsity coach, who is in charge of the JV team or the freshman team, that is really the boss of the program. What we try to do at Santa Cruz High is we try to put the team together. So just like I said, you might have had 18. If we put another 18 together, then you have a bigger number. One thing I tried to do at Santa Cruz this year, being that I knew that a lot of teams, what I've done is I've picked different things teams need, and I use some of my budget money that I had to try to support teams, whether I bought the softball team balls and bases, because they were like, oh, we need this. And I tried to spread out the money in the sense to say, I'm trying to buy something for every team if I had to, just to help everybody out so they could see something coming in, some new balls, some new bases. If they, you know, we really need some new netting. So I tried to look in facilities, and Jim's helped me out with letting me use some of the facilities money we had left over to maybe use in some facilities things that might need shoring up that the teams wouldn't have to fundraise for. So I'm trying to make everybody feel that they're getting a little bit of something, even if, you know, it's been hard for them. So I just feel that, you know, it's not my money to sit on. Let's try to spread it out, you know, for golf, for tennis. You need balls, let me buy the balls this year for the tennis so you guys don't have to worry about it. You know, just to try to give everybody some love. Some of the bigger teams, like basketball and football, they might not need as much of my help. And so, you know, I tell them, look, you know, you guys, you're sitting on $25,000. You know, you really, you know, you can buy whatever you want. But for the little teams that might be in the hole and they're just trying to get themselves out of the hole because they're in the negative, well, what do you guys need? Well, Coach, we need these things. I go, well, look, I'll take care of that for you guys. And you guys just worry about playing and doing your fundraising. You can put the money back in, maybe getting you guys sweatshirts or something like that that makes you guys feel better about the team and more camaraderie amongst each other. I think SoCal Harbor and myself and the middle schools, you know, we try to work together. It's our job as athletic directors to try to bridge the gap, just like you said. So it's my job to make sure that that is running as smoothly. And I hope that the coaches know that they can ask for my help, and I'll support them. I think you'll see a better situation as we move forward. Because like I said before, we've just got into this beginning stage. And you know, we're working hard with Patty and everybody to try to get this going. And we were still kind of playing a little catch up because, you know, we were trying to put our time into this because we really wanted to get this passed. So we, you know, we were kind of still behind a little bit. I think once you guys see next year as we go along, it's going to be, as it goes on, it's going to be smoother as it goes on. And things will definitely improve from the standpoint of athletics.
Patty.
Thank you. So my next question goes into the middle school because I'm wondering what type of collaboration and philosophy to go from the programs to grow them up. And I'm going to say, knowing of Soquel High School and how it works, because my student was a student there, what we do from the high school level to reach back, at Soquel they have a number of things. We invite one of the elementary schools that isn't quite in Mountain School into our systems to come to a game, come to a football game. We have different fundraisers where the baseball team goes to the Little League and they put on their high school uniforms and they have the children come. Well, the children, now we're at the point in my lifetime where I've seen that the children that are in the high school are saying that I used to come as a youngster, and it determined that I knew I was going to that school. You know, so I go to Bayview, and then I'm going to go to Mission Hill, and I know I'm going to be this, and then I'm going to go to the next. So what we're doing to help align the philosophies throughout, can you speak to that at all?
So, you know, I think, you know, being at Mission Hill is closest to Santa Cruz High, you know, we go over and have sports interaction at Mission Hill and bring players over to Mission Hill to talk about sports. If they want to join, nothing forceful, but if they would like to join, you know, we don't, I think we could possibly reach out to D40 and do some things on a wider spectrum. But right now, I think we just, for me, it's Santa Cruz and Mission Hill, in a sense. But like I said, those are something that we can have more time to talk about structuring or things like that. I think that would be a good thing to go and have players go talk to kids and do certain things. And I think that'd be something that we could, you know, start implementing in the future.
It's a great idea, Patty, and I would add that at the AD meetings that the our ADs for Santa Cruz, so B40 and Mission Hill, they join the high school ADs, kind of some overlap time between them, and meet with Tim, myself, and Jimmy once a month. So there is some talking amongst us, but it does bring up a good point of some of our feeder junior high or middle schools and bringing them in as well.
Well, I will comment to that one of the things my son, who had a heavy academic load, would consistently remind me that, Mom, we've got to go do math and English, but we come to our schools for everything else, so whether it be the theater or the band or athletics. And one of the things that I do know or have seen where parents had the most strife between the eighth grade year to the high school year is when the parent was looking to maybe not... maybe it was the parents' thought that their child would do better at a school that isn't necessarily our public schools. And the student was the one who was just absolutely like, I'm going to Santa Cruz High with my friends. And it's just that simple. And they made it just fine. The parents were like, oh, after the 4 years, we were fine. But, you know, so I really like to make sure that the community feels welcome at a very young age.
Sheila.
All right, well, so this is kind of for when all these problems are worked out and everything's really smooth. When you were talking about thinking about developing new programs, it reminded me of what I consider to be something of an equity issue, and I know it's way beyond our district, but I would like it when y'all are together having discussions, I would like people to keep it in their mind. I don't know the solution, but I think there must be one. When my daughter was on the soccer team at Santa Cruz High, when they had tryouts, there was a huge amount of young women who came to try out for the girls' soccer team. And many of them very enthusiastic, and many of who had played, but had not played in a structured, competitive environment. And the team that was chosen was all but one were breakers. Children. And as a result, there were a large amount of quite good soccer players who were not able to be chosen. And it occurred to me at that point that we really ought to be thinking about ways to broaden the experience of being on a team. And at that time, it didn't seem as if financially we would ever be at that place. But I would like, now that we have a stable funding source for athletics, for perhaps that to be back in the discussion. I know the middle school coaches really did understand when I said, you know, that issue, that it was an issue. And I would really like to be able to see the students who do not have the funds or the available parents to drive them all over the earth being able to still have a way in which they can play.
It definitely is a subject, especially with soccer, just because what's happening now with soccer, it's a year-round sport, and kids play it year-round. And the one thing that's starting to happen with a lot of our sports is that kids have this belief that I'm going to be great at this one sport. And when I played sports, Jimmy played sports, we played three or four sports. And I didn't concentrate on one. I just happened to be better at one, and I was able to get a football scholarship in that one. But I played a lot of sports. What's happening now is kids aren't playing a lot of sports, and they're just concentrating on one. We still have a lot of kids who do two, but for one, that's my sport. And besides the school, I have state regulations that I'm dealing with that I have to tackle because we have this rule. You know, a lot of kids that could have played soccer this year didn't play because they wanted to play on their club team. And once soccer starts, you can't play on a club team and play high school. And so sometimes the school loses out because we might lose four or five quality players because they said, oh no, I'm going to get more exposure by traveling to Vegas or going, I'm not going to play high school. And so we get into this whole the haves and have-nots with soccer. And soccer is one of those sports, boys and girls. I have 65 to 75 kids try out, and I can't carry 75 kids on a soccer team. What could happen in the future, with a lot of regulation and getting it approved, if we have the money, maybe we could have two teams. We could maybe have a frost, you know, maybe we could have a freshman JV and a varsity team, and we could move the numbers so they equaled out for everybody. So if it was a freshman trying out for a JV team, maybe they could be on freshman and JV, you know, the numbers would pan out if we'd have a little bit more flexibility at the varsity level. But it is very tough when I put that list up and the kids who work really hard and they go to that list. And one thing we have done with the list, so we keep everything straight, is I never put kids' names on the list. I only put the kids' numbers. So kids don't go up and say, well, you made it, I didn't make it. So that's one of the things we've implemented at Santa Cruz High, that if we have, most of the teams, we don't cut kids, but there's some teams that just get so impacted that we have no choice, and that's for all three schools. We try to just keep it as non-personal as possible and just put the kids' ID numbers so nobody knows the number. And it's still a heartbreaking day when the list is up and I didn't make it. And, you know, I played last year, but I didn't make it this year because somebody jumped ahead of me. So I hope with the guidelines, and this is not just our, this is just not our league in the county, this is state, you know, for CIF and CCS. Those are things that I have to bring up at those meetings and incorporate, and I have to get approval. And so there's a whole long list of things that have to happen before we can have that in process, but it is something that with this money that maybe we can implement to have three teams or four teams instead of just having the three or two and not having a freshman team. Because we may be able to hire another coach now and have that money to have a freshman team. Okay.
And I was also thinking that it might help to think of having more at the middle school level, because often what happens is that the breakers, the ones that have been in breakers or something like that, a club sport, have learned tricks. It's not that they're so much better, but they have learned the tricks that make them better. And I often thought that if we started, we had more availability for our students at a younger age, that they also could learn some of those tricks that help the skill level. Mm-hmm. So,
so
I would just want to put it out there.
I was just talking about earlier, that grant I was just talking about mm-hmm. that we got.
Schools.
For the middle schools, and Measure O is going to help us bring intramural sports to after school in our middle schools 4 days a week.
Yay.
In addition to the league sports, we're going to have intramural sports as well.
There you go.
So there you go. So it's going to, we got that, we have that coming.
Great. And thank you.
Do we have comments from the public?
Ella.
Oh, sorry, Ella.
First, I just want to say thank you for what you do. And I know you're support actually extends beyond the athletic community at Santa Cruz High. I know as a theater kid, there's generally a point in a production where we're like, well, maybe Coachie can help because something's going wrong, or we need a power toy, that sort of thing. So it's been very beneficial all around. And then kind of going off that, you talked about how your positions allowed you to interact more with parents and coaches and support them. How have you also been able to support students more directly? And I know students have concerns about things, and a lot of like the controversies Sheila mentioned also come up in the student community and in those conversations. Like, how are their concerns addressed?
So, you know, on the soccer thing, my office full with kids talking about, you know, oh, the soccer list, this and that. So I think having my office open to address issues, I've been able to talk about the process, because a lot of kids don't understand the process. And the freshman kids who come have this expectation, they don't understand. And sometimes, I hate to say this, there's this whole competitiveness that translates from middle school to high school. And sometimes kids aren't ready for it, and it takes a little time to roll into what the expectations are. And so I think I've been able to have a lot more time to explain the process. Don't want you to get discouraged. I want you, if you didn't make it this year, come back next year. And I'm able to meet with them. You know, we can shut the door. You can have a one-on-one. You don't have to bring your friends in. People don't have to see you talking. People don't have to see you crying. I have my Kleenex next to me. You know, I think that this job has freed me up to have those conversations in a timely manner, where before I was like, oh, I got to run down to the gym. Some kids are fighting. I got to go do this. I don't want to leave you. Can you come back later? I don't say that now. I just say, oh, come in the office, sit down, what's on your mind? Yeah. And then if a student, can my mom and dad come in and talk? Sure. When do you want to do it? Tell them to email me, tell them to call me. You want to come tomorrow? You want to come this afternoon? It just frees me up to address things in a timely manner. I think another thing with the students is, kids who want to go to college, I'm able to break down the NCAA requirements. So I have a lot of kids who might be in their sophomore year, and they thought, well, I didn't think I was going to get offered, and this guy's telling me I'm going to get a swimmer scholarship now because I'm swimming so fast, but I haven't took the right classes to qualify for the NCAA. Mm-hmm. So with counseling and the student, we go over what you have and what you need. If you need summer school, try to play catch-up. I think now I'm putting information out on the webpage to parents that get blasted out saying, if you even think your student might have a chance at going to college for a sport, these are the requirements. Call me. And I'm also instructing and working with counseling to let them know, hey, I give them all the copies of the NCAA. Any stuff that gets updated, I give the counseling. They get it at the beginning of the year, so they know what the requirements are. And then counseling, if a kid comes in, what we're trying to say to them, hey, do you think you might be looking at a scholarship? Well, you need to have these classes before you get out. Before, kids were like, oh, it's my junior year, and I got offered a scholarship, but I don't know if my requirements are right. Do I have to go to a junior college? So I think having that time to meet with students and put that stuff out has been very beneficial to starting at the beginning and not playing catch-up later. So,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Any comments from the public?
I could just wrap it up and thank Gary for coming tonight.
Thank you.
Being the representative. Oh,
got some.
Sorry,
I will some wrap lights it up, came yeah. out.
Thank you. I just wanted to say, you know, when we voted to make y'all full time, that we were really looking for tangible outcomes for students, and I really appreciate the information you presented tonight, and I really appreciate your timeline with dates. I think that's great, and as a parent of an athlete as well, I'm very appreciative. So thank you.
You're welcome. And like I said, you know, we'll do these every year. You know, and you know, depending on everybody's schedule, because Stu had, you know, something to do in other schools. So one of us, our Tim, will be here. But like I said again, we really appreciate you guys giving us this opportunity, and we want to make sure we do it the right way as you've given us this opportunity. And if you guys need something from any one of us, email me. If you have any questions, you want to just email me, I'll respond. One of the things about me is I usually try to respond within the same day or no later than the next day, so it won't be an email. Because that's one of my things with parents. I don't like parents hanging, because when they don't feel they're addressed, they feel that then they want to jump over me to somebody else. I don't like people jumping over me. I'd rather you just tell me what you need, and then if we need to go to the next step, we can do that. So if you guys have any questions, I'm speaking for Stu and, you know, Matt at Harvard. If you guys have anything you have concerns about, don't hesitate to email us. I appreciate the opportunity, and thanks a lot.
I think we had one last comment.
I just had a comment, and I wanted to thank you for putting your mission statement and bringing it together, and I'm just in hopes that as you continue on, you get a mantra for Santa Cruz City Schools, something that we can, as students, as parents, as spectators, all point to as an expectation or whatever it might be. But I want to plant that seed so that I can go to any of our schools, and when maybe somebody new doesn't quite understand expected behaviors, instead of the coach or the athletic director or the student themselves having to say anything, we in the crowd can look at them and help point to whatever the sign may be.
And I think it's a stamp for the whole community. As your expectations, when you guys go to, you know, other places to visit, like you said, you went to a conference, hey, this is what we do. And I think if the mission statement and what we're doing is what you guys feel is right, then that will be what will be across the board. I think that was one of the things we were working on as part-time, but we just didn't get to that point yet. And I think now we're at that point where we can say, this is Santa Cruz City Schools' philosophy for all our sports in the county, you know, for our community, so.
The one thing I'll end with, in these monthly meetings that we've been having, the conversation is dramatically different than it was a year ago. And Eric has mentioned this. It really was kind of band-aids at best last year of trying to fix things as we went. The tone was, how can we do this all? There's so much to do. And wanting to do their best for the kids. This year, it's much more proactive and looking at things, still trying to fix things. There's a deficit of years that, you know, we've kind of been neglected. So it's bringing some of those up. But to be talking about our mission statement, our philosophy, to talking about a coach's handbook, an expectation that they will go through for every coach, turning in all of the evaluations to HR, so it's in a personnel file for every coach. Having students participate in that evaluation process. So a lot of things have happened. The simple fact of getting these guys CPR trained to be trainers was huge, and that they have the time now to train coaches to do that. So there's been so much good that's happened in a short amount of time. And like I said, the conversation is so much deeper, so much richer of moving athletics forward in a more positive direction. So I appreciate Eric and Matt and Stu and everyone else for the work that they're doing on this, and look forward to just continuing on the path that we're on.
We're also working on a parent information packet of parent expectations too, besides coaches. So we're going to be giving some parent expectations also out too. So we're in the process of working on that right now too. So we're going to have expectations for everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
8.3.3, summer facilities update.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to introduce tonight our director of maintenance operations and transportation, Trevor Miller. He'll be presenting tonight on looking for summer projects for this year, where we've come, where we look to go to, and also an update on our long-range facility master plan.
All right. Good evening, all. Good to see all your faces. It's a fairly simplistic sort of overview of what's been happening, just because there are so many things going on all the time. The first slide you're looking at here on the screen is kind of just a little bit of a throwback. Last year, we really had to put in a lot of effort, and so two of the primary projects that sort of showcase that effort was the SoCal football field, which turned out quite amazing, and I think everybody's quite happy with it. And the roofing project that went extremely well, way better than expected. If I'd have known it was going to go that well, we may have done it all in one year instead of spreading it over two. But it's been, it has shown the worth of doing it this winter with all the rain we got. We didn't have but maybe one or two leaks in all of those roofs. There were others that we haven't touched yet, but it was very successful. So as we look back, we did spend about $1.6 million on summer projects, so we really had a lot going on. And in the coming summer of 16, we are projecting expenditures about $1.8 million. The projects are going to be funded by a combination of different funds, deferred maintenance, routine maintenance, Prop 39 energy funds, the capital facility funds, which are developed fees, and some certificates of participation. Some of these projects that we're proposing, just like last year, are going to require formal RFPs, specific design and bidding processes. And our goal is absolutely to be complete on schedule, on budget, during the summer period, hopefully a little bit ahead of what happened last year with the football field, as we missed one game, which wasn't, that wasn't the original intent, but it worked out quite well.
I can interject one thing on the SoCal's our athletic field, because it serves more than just lacrosse, soccer, track and field, all those things.
We use it every day. I mean, every day I go out there, the kids are all out there and running around doing something. I mean, it's used literally 7 days a week, probably 16 hours a day. So as we go through and start bringing some of these projects to fruition, we'll bring back to you more information about, you know, how much it costs, who got the bid, you know, where we're starting, how long it's going to take, that type of thing. This is just a bit of a summary of some of the things, again, we did last year. So the first four or three items are the first two items obviously were done last year. The softball field is ongoing right now. The grass is down. We're actually now talking about mowing it. So it's really taken well. So that's really exciting because it's really come along. The fencing is going up on the other field. The trees have been cut back, opened it up. So the whole complex now is starting to come together. And over the next month or so, as we redo sort of the roadways that went around that have become rather disheveled with us running around over this winter with all the rain, it'll really take on a sort of stable, picturesque sports complex. At least that's the plan. So the other plan we have, obviously, is this second phase of the roofing projects. They're targeted specifically at what we call a garland roof. It's a white reflective roof that was put on a number of years ago that got out of warranty. The warranty work is what we're doing now. And as you know, it's fairly expensive, so obviously that's why it wasn't done. But the problem when a roof is out of warranty, when it leaks, you have no one to call. And that in itself created some issues with unqualified people doing repairs that we've now had to come back and redo. So we're going to do part two of that. Most of the larger roofer projects will hopefully be addressed the following summer, and depending on whether bonds and other things come into play. The other major project we're looking at is the athletic field at Santa Cruz High. Our fields are used constantly. We have 180 different organizations using our facilities, and it's mind-boggling how many are out there, and they're all trying to scramble and get at it. And we just can't accommodate it, neither can the city. And so this, with a turf field, as you know, every time it rains, you play sports on it, you deteriorate it rapidly. And so and it gets very difficult to bring back. With the drought, it's been even harder. Good season of rain, unfortunately, the fields suffer more damage, but hopefully they'll be easy to bring back. But by having this as an artificial turf field, that would definitely aid in the relief of having a sound, safe field for our kids to play on, do their PE, and also for all the different athletic sports, football, soccer, lacrosse, etc., that use them. So that's hopeful we can move forward with that. So we're sort of looking for direction to proceed on these larger projects from you.
If I could add on to that, on what Mr. Miller mentioned, is it also goes back to, I know, Trustee Perez Granado's comment about accessibility. We do have a partnership with the city of Santa Cruz where they use our facilities, we use theirs. And because some of our schools and our teams have grown, as Mr. Redding just referred, we're finding a lack of space just for our teams and our own facilities. So with this partnership with the city of Santa Cruz, by moving forward with this artificial turf athletic field at Santa Cruz High, it'll then allow, for example, the sister school at Harvard have accessibility to Depot to expand their programs as we have a full-service field over there. It'll also not enable us to have one turf field at each of our comprehensive high school sites as far as that. It just opens up the ability to maintain the programs year-round and the use of all the organizations that come into play.
Yeah. The second part of the presentation here is a little bit of an update on our facilities master plan development. As you're probably aware, but I'll sort of do a brief overview, we had the engineers and architects from Teeter, A&E, visit all the different campuses from a architectural engineering standpoint, take their information about what they believe the facilities needed as a modernization or repair standpoint, but also trying to visualize how to make them better than what they are to serve the needs of our staff and students even better. The second part of that was we met with each and every site principal and key personnel on that site with those architects and took that input because those people live there. They know about things that we would never see even visiting them a dozen times. We wouldn't notice that when math gets out third period, it crosses with science and there's 600 kids in the quad at the same time. And, you know, those types of things where they talk about how to get from A to B and we just wouldn't see it. or the fact that there's, you know, 150 band members and they use a little multi-purpose room for band, stuff like that. So it's really important that we got that information and we had some really, really good conversations. The next part is when we went on to do a bunch of community meetings. So we set it up where the elementary meeting was held the same night in the same facility as their feeder middle school. So the parents, the children in the elementaries, obviously a lot of this work is not going to happen immediately, so they get to have input not only at the school site they're at, because again, they live there, so they've got great information, but what they expect when they get to the middle school, and also just to hear what we're talking about to then hopefully trigger some even more ideas. And so that went quite well, particularly at the high school level. We had great attendance, we had great influence and input, and we had some really creative thinking, which was really very exciting, because again, that's what we need. In order to make the best of what we have, we need the best input, and we received it. So that all happened during January and February. So now the next step is we are going to go on to a facilities committee, which will be a steering committee, and they'll start putting this information together, and we'll bring something back to you for your input, your direction, ideas, things you like, don't like. We'll adjust and we'll come up with a plan. So as it states here in the last paragraph, the goal is to bring forth, we try to get everybody at each step of the way to bring forth ideas to make the campuses the best they can be and serve and support our students and staff. And the stakeholders are encouraged to be as creative and broad visioned as possible. What I mean by that is, a lot of people want to come in and say, we need to fix the roof, we need to change the doors, the windows, we need to be double pane, we need to use LED lights, and those are all great things. But what if you put the math wing over here, you converted this one into the science wing, and then you have more room, and you start to come up with better ideas to make our campuses better. So if we have that opportunity to get a bond, and we can do the right thing, we've already got these ideas in place. And so it was a very good collaborative experience, and it's only just beginning. We've done a lot of work, but there's a whole lot more to do. Let's see, what else we've got here. So just as an example, I put in a little section here.
What do you want me back?
You know, just to show sort of the color page. This is the one we did at SoCal. Flip on to the next one, please. These are just a series of bullet items that we created to sort of show what we've been thinking about, but also to get our participants to join in and think and talk. And as we talked, it was interesting to watch the dynamics within the crowd as they started to then think and feed off each other. And so this list was a very important catalyst in doing that. So here we go, the next steps, convening the steering committee. You know, work with the committee to develop that master plan proposal, present that draft to you at some time here in the near future. And I think we have some date ideas in mind, but I don't know that they're set yet. I'm looking at Chris, and she's just nodding at me, so I'll go on. So we'll present sort of a draft master plan of what we think are kind of the priorities. One of the interesting things is it's going to be hard with our campuses being small and impacted to do these major projects. So we have to be very careful how we place them. Sometimes priorities may shift based on the ability to do it versus the need. So there's a lot of things to consider. So it's going to be an interesting discussion. And then obviously, with your input, we'll adjust those presentations and those ideas, and then we'll bring it back for a master plan adoption. And at that point, then we can move forward, hopefully, to the future with a bond.
Jim and I were just looking at timeline, and as we're trying to include as many people as possible in the process, and we have an ad hoc committee looking at a few district-wide things that will then go to the steering committee for more, you know, working through and putting into the master plan. There's lots of layers, and we're looking at dates, and we're getting ready to convene the steering committee. So I think we don't have definitive dates, but I know that we're wanting to bring drafts to you before the end of the school year. We might not have the final draft of the master plan done before August. It's going to depend on some different things, but we just want to make sure that we have enough opportunity to, you know, just conversations we all were all having earlier. There's so many potential ideas and there's so many things that we need to explore so that we make the best decisions on behalf of the district for long-term sustainability and flexibility. And some of those conversations aren't simple ones.
So as you can see, we need to maintain the momentum that we began last year for the summer roofing repairs. Part of what Trevor said was it would be easy to do it all in one summer, but we also know we didn't have the manpower and the capability to do that. So we broke into two phases purposely at that time last year, knowing that Trevor did have to sleep sometime during the summertime while getting all these projects done. Mm-hmm. But we also want to maintain the momentum to maintain and continue the facilities that we need right now. You know, the one key term I always thought about in schools is that we have to fly the plane as we build it. And we continue to do that, but we're trying to do so really in a way that's organized and planned out to create the best results for the students.
Questions from the board? Sheila.
All right, I have two, but I'm only going to do one now. Is there something I'm not understanding? I expected the elementary school roofs, especially at Bayview, to be on the summer list.
Bayview roofs were done last summer.
The portable roofs that are leaking all over the place?
The garland roofs. The portable roofs are being addressed individually. The garland roofs are being done under a big program.
Right, but they're not on here on the summer list, and I understood that they were.
They are being done constantly. We're on a portable roof today.
Okay, so it's in a different list
somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on kind of a. Actually, right now, those are all on work orders.
Okay.
Dee Dee.
I appreciate that all our high schools have a artificial turf field, but only Soquel and soon only Santa Cruz will have artificial turf fields that are more flexible for multiple sports. And I'm wondering what the plans are for Harbor in terms of their poor field for soccer and football is in really bad shape. And certainly Depot is a nice option for them. Mm-hmm. And making that available, more available, will be good. But they don't have lights there, for example, and that's an issue for football and for soccer and other sports. So I'm just wondering if that's kind of in the conversation as we're moving forward.
I can think that's, yeah, definitely. And that's something that we're really addressing. That would be, again, as Trevor mentioned a couple of times tonight, look at the long-range facility master plan. Long-range could be as soon as next year. Because we know the tremendous need that we have for all of our sites. And right now, Santa Cruz does not have the turf field, but they had a field that was created as a base and then was layered on top of it. So we find that to be one that can be accomplished in this short time frame. But we know it has to be addressed at Harbor, you know, very soon to meet those same needs. Because just as there's soccer and lacrosse, at Santa Cruz and at Soquel, there's soccer and lacrosse and football at Harbor, and so we know that very, very well. And one of our short-term fixes will be like last year when we did some implements and a lot of maintenance on the grass field over the summertime to try to get it prepared for that next season. But we know it's definitely high on our list also. Multiple needs, we're trying to prioritize it to make it cost-effective at the same time.
Sheila?
So my other question has to do with the turf fields. I remember very well when Mission Hill put in their turf field, and it took months of public upset and agony. And I'm wondering, when you met at Santa Cruz High, did this come up, and was everybody now fine with it? I'm still hearing from parents who are so worried we're going to put in another turf field. But it's not as many as it used to be, and I'm just wondering whether the public is really aware of this, and are they okay with it?
Everybody at that meeting was definitely in favor of that. There were also a very big swimming pool component there, a lot of athletic parents. One of the issues that you went through with Mission Hill that we don't deal with today is the recycled tire issue. This is where most, if not all, of the
fear,
that's a good word. The fear comes from because of all those unknowns. You think about old used tires, this is really a negative mental image. There's kind of an organized movement to kind of condemn it, but we don't use that product anymore. There's so many different options. And even between what we did last year at SoCal High and what we're proposing to do this year, there are at least three different options that take it even in a cleaner, greener, supposedly safer, if you want to believe some of the science, but it's all, yeah, so from the community standpoint, that recycled rubber issue is gone.
And from a community standpoint, this was brought up when the community was mm-hmm. open to meet, so yes. they can't say, wait a minute, you didn't tell us, and, okay.
They can, but they shouldn't.
They can, yeah.
But no, it was very positive, and like I said, I mean, we've had so much good feedback on SoCal Field. It's a great product, but again, since then, there's more that are even more natural and less man-altered. So there's some really great options out there. Some of them are a little costlier than others, so we'll have to look at that quickly, but yeah, great options. And we had no, I don't remember a single negative feedback from that meeting at all on the football field.
No, it was very united, and there were, you know, 40, 50 people there that mm-hmm. it would serve the community well to have an all-weather field, and it wasn't just the football parents or just the soccer parents, they lacrosse. They also knew that the more so than I did, living a little bit further out, what a pent up need there are for fields. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of have the luxury of 40 acres out there, so we practice on both the real and the artificial.
Patty,
but I'm sorry to comment on that. Trevor, thank you. My question is, should we move ahead with the artificial turf? Should it be determined? What is the timeline in the summer? I know we cut it very, very close at SoCal last year. It did not immediately start at the end of the school year. It had elapsed for various reasons, and then it had a huge push in August, which was not very fair to staff. You know, I mean, I think it was a little bit hair-raising when people decided to tell you, we need that field now. So can you give me a timeline and thoughts and when you would ideally like to start?
Ideally, I'd like to start as soon as Eric can get his guys off it. That's probably not realistic. Right now, I've already put an RFP out for design consultants. So if you guys choose to direct us to continue forward with that, I will have responses back, I believe it is a week from Tuesday, and we will select almost immediately someone to work with. We have the the plans from before, so the plans are already done. This last time we kind of had to generate plans for it, so we don't have that time lag. We also know what the process is, where we can use different mechanisms by which to accelerate that by using and it's just escaped my head. It was right there a minute ago. The purchasing group.
Piggyback.
Yeah, that's not what it is. It's a there's a statewide purchasing agency that's done a series of bids.
Oh, yeah. So that you use the work they've already done, so you don't have to do all the legal and the labor.
All we do is create a series of standards, a minimum standards, and we can fit within those minimum standards. Basically, gives their version of that, and then we can select based on not just price, we actually have the ability then to select on the best proposal. So it gives us that flexibility as well, which is nice because we may prefer to have product X even though it's a little more expensive because it's the latest and greatest thing that you know everybody loves. So that'll happen. So the goal is to be ready well before the first game so they can actually practice on it before they play it.
Ella.
Hi, had a clarifying question. I think you kind of addressed it more site-specifically before. So like the more pressing repairs, like the Andrews High hole in the roof, that sort of thing is on like a work order, you said? So it's separate from what we're seeing here?
Yeah, right. What I did here was really just some of these big dollar, huge projects that we're getting architects involved in and bids. We have literally dozens and dozens of work orders for fixing doors and windows and roofs and downspouts and all kinds of things, leaky toilets. It's constant and ongoing.
Okay, so that would be the same thing for like, the San Jose main building heater, which I think I mentioned this before, sometimes sounds like there's small children trapped in it or goes on for a
period of time. I'm surprised it doesn't sound worse than that.
Sometimes it does.
We had a discussion about that the other day because we were having an issue with it. It's kind of a little anecdotal story, but nobody's alive today that knows why it's designed the way it is. So finding somebody to fix it is just that much harder. So we've had a series of attempts based on different philosophies of how this system is supposed to work, and we're now working on philosophy number three.
Okay, that's just one of the joys of living in a historic school.
Yeah, the boiler's dated, I think,
1895.
Excellent. Thank you.
Three different centuries.
Right? Like,
wow.
I think it's an opportunity for a new ROP course.
Combining history with mechanics.
Are there any comments from the public?
I'm Brad Burton, and of course I emphatically support building the field as soon as possible. I want to thank the everybody here for their support for athletics, and I think you were doing a tremendous job to improving the schools and improving the high school experience and the junior high experience of our students and making a better community. I want to point out also that the field will relate to another issue at Santa Cruz High right now. The district and all the schools went through 10 or 12 years of austerity, which made the school plants decrepit. It broke down morale. Everybody was, when we got there, really, the place kind of looked like a mess. And it is changing right now. The staff at the school is working hard on building community, keeping kids on the campus. The parent groups are all focused on bringing back that sort of school community. And I think if you bring a field there and show that that the district and the community cares about that, about athletics and about the physical plant, I think it goes a long way to assisting the process. And I think it would be a great thing for the kids of next year to not miss out again on having an up-to-date institution field. Thanks.
Since this is part of my thing, first of all, I say thank you. Also, I want to, what we talked about earlier too, in bridging gaps, between facilities and myself, scheduling stuff, not just for Santa Cruz High teams, because I work with Trevor to schedule community stuff. The field will open up a lot of things as far as, Pop Warner, they probably want to play. There'll be a lot more things that we can offer. It'd be more work for me, but since I'm full time, I can handle that part, but it would be more scheduling, because even with the field in the way it is right now, we still have people wanting to use our field all the time. Mm-hmm. But, before, I was the guy out there spending 3 hours lining the field, getting it ready, just, if we had to, if we didn't have the staff to do it, I would do that. If we had a turf field and the lines and everything is down, it's pretty much just me making sure the right people are on the field at the right time. Mm-hmm. Kicking people off that shouldn't be there and just saying, hey, you guys got to leave. The field would already be there. It'd be there for the community too. It'd be open for the community to use, just kind of how SoCal's is used right now, where people come and run and also play soccer, and they bring their kids over and they play soccer. So besides the teams that use the field, it'll be open to the community to use it just on open days. Because if we practice, I open the field up and people run every day at Santa Cruz High. It's just as long as they're off by 9 o'clock when the janitors lock up, I always say, yeah, run as much as you want. So, yes, that's going to help our teams, but it's also going to help the community. And like you said, too, Harvard needs a new field, too, and that's for sure. And, they have issues when the rain comes with water and, the field gets really soaky, and they have stuff, too. But it will also help them. I know there's a travel time to go to Depot Field, but it would give them an opportunity that maybe JV can play at Depot, where right now it's only varsity teams playing at Depot. So now maybe on the other days, JV could play there too if Santa Cruz High wasn't using the field, and it would free up the varsity team to be at Santa Cruz High for both boys and girls. Now it would free up for varsity JV for boys and girls to use Depot if they needed to, and have some sense of, so the JV kids, like, we always play on the bad field because we have to stay here at Harvard. Maybe they can have an opportunity to play also at Depot and play on the turf field. So I know it's a benefit for Santa Cruz High, I won't deny that, but at the same time, I will say that it is also beneficial for the community, and the community will use the field, and as long as we take care of it and do what's right with it, it'll be there for everybody, and we're not gonna, keep people out. So I appreciate it, thank you.
And any final comments from the board? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have a couple closing comments. One, I want to commend Eric and all the ADs. I've been to a couple of those AD meetings, and we've had some fantastic conversations. So there's a real positive shift and change, and it's only going to get better. The other thing is congratulations, Dan. We're going to miss you.
Bittersweet.
Thank you.
Can I just get a nod? We didn't make this an action item, and we probably should have made this an action item. Can I see that we have a nod to move forward with RFPs, and we'll put this formally on for action at our next meeting? Can I see a nod that we're okay to move forward for RFPs?
Okay. I'm sorry, you're putting what out for RFP?
We're going to move forward with these facility projects.
Okay.
So we need to put that on the agenda for the 13th, or for the 13th.
Okay.
Just a brief action item for...
Thank you.
8.3.4, I think this is Jim.
Yes. Thank you, President Thompson. Bringing forward tonight are resolutions that come to you on an annual basis. It's our short-term resolution for temporary cash loans from Santa Cruz City School Districts. As you know, we have districts that aren't funded to meet the cash flow needs throughout the year. So we set up resolutions, one, to borrow from the County of Santa Cruz on a short-term basis if needed, and that happens up until approximately March of the fiscal year. And then from April through June, we set up a resolution to temporarily borrow, if needed, from the actual county office of ed. And so it's an annual requirement that's bringing forward just in case to make sure the flow of funds continue as we receive our property taxes and the remainder of the year's funds from the state. So that's what we bring forward to you tonight.
Any questions? Comments from the public? Do we have a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Patty and Sheila, thank you.
This is a roll call resolution. Student recommendation?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. 8.3.6, board policy updates.
This is our next round of board policy updates from CSBA. For the most part, these are minor revisions based on changes in the law. There is also a slight revision to our directory release policy that includes an annual review of that policy to be brought back to the board.
And is there anything else?
That is it.
Okay, any questions? Comments from the public? So we can approve this as a final reading, or we can say that this is a first reading. Do we have a motion to approve it as a final reading?
Move to approve as final reading.
A second.
DDA.
Claudia. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain?
Can I make a comment?
Yep.
I believe that this is the first time we got the summary at the beginning. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Because I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was so great to actually be able to focus.
The current.
Much easier to read.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Okay. So would you like that to be a regular part of your update?
Yes, please. Because it gets you oriented before you go and read the thing. So I really appreciated it.
Excellent. And 7, job description, newcomer teacher and transition specialist.
So we bring forward to you two new job descriptions. For two positions. One is the newcomer, and this is a teacher that will be providing newcomer direct instruction to our newcomers, and it's just realigning this particular job description so that it does mention bilingual candidacy, as we feel like that's an essential component for this. It's a little different than just a teacher or ELD teacher because it is for the newcomers. And the other one is we updated a job description based on some new grants and new information on the transition specialist. We've had someone in that job since 1988, and she's retiring.
And so it just, this is more reflective of the needs, the services, and credentialing requirements that we need.
Mm-hmm. Again, these are not new positions.
No.
They're existing positions. It's updating and clarifying job descriptions.
Questions from the board?
Just a quick question. When you update these, do you work along with the Personnel Commission?
Not on these, because these are certificated.
Certificated. Okay. Thank you.
Comments from the public?
Just to note that the job title on these is the same.
Could you use the podium, please?
My copy of these that printed out, they both have the title Transition Specialist.
You're right. We'll have to go back and change it for the new one.
Yeah.
Any other public comments?
Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve. We're approving it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Approving the new
job description. So this could, again, this could be approving it as a final reading or have it be a first reading. Do we have a motion to approve it as a final reading?
Yeah, I move that we approve it as a final reading.
Okay.
One second.
Can I have an amendment with the changing of the title of the first?
It's correct in our board.
Yes,
it's not,
correct.
It's not in the paper. It's not in the public. Not in the paper. They both say the same name.
I accept that amendment.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you.
Sheila.
Claudia. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Oh, I'm sorry, Ella. Let's do this over. Student recommendation.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
7-0.
Thank you.
And we are done at a historic 8:30.
Yes. Yay, 30. Allison.
Hallelujah.
So next week, we'll be around together.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just
want to tell you. But my mom was
Yes.
So, like one.
Do we pick this up?
Oh, thank you so much.